Paul Maine from the Day One app is here to digest WWDC.
I can't wait to get that new Mac. And I will show you how broke I am after getting the new... I will show you a new audiobook app.
And Leo, when was the last time you brushed your teeth?
This morning.
Okay.
Minutes ago. Why?
We'll find out.
It's time for iOS Today.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
iOS Today is brought to you by Calm, the number one app to help you reduce your stress, relax your mind, and help you sleep. Get 25% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/iOS today. And by Atlassian. Atlassian software powers the full spectrum of collaboration between IT teams and the rest of your organization. Visit Atlassian.com/IT to see what IT can be by giving their products a try for free. Do I need a mint? We are still aglow from yesterday's Worldwide Developers Conference keynote. Hello, Megan Maroney.
Hello, Leo Laporte.
And hello to you. Welcome to iOS Today, the show where we have to add a fifth element now. Mm-hmm. iOS on the iPhone, watchOS on the Apple Watch, tvOS on the Apple TV, and iPadOS on the Apple iPad. Is it Pro only?
I don't think so.
It's all iPads?
I think it's all iPads. Nice. But yeah, I mean, we'll be talking.
It's all iOS. Yeah.
So we have another developer. This is the month of developers.
Developer month continues.
Yes, and today this is an app you introduced to me, and I love it. You love it. The Day One app, we have the creator of the Day One app, Paul Maine.
Hey, Paul, great to see you.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
I'm a premium member, have been for a long time. Mm-hmm. Actually, I had two subscriptions for a while because you changed how it worked. But that was okay. I didn't mind supporting you guys. You have a big team. How many people are on the Day One team?
There's 14 of us here working on it.
So we don't want to imply that Paul is like the only guy. You're writing this, you know, like 3 a.m. after your day job. This is a very professional journaling app. It's really nice.
But Paul was featured in the App Store. I think, you know, they have that extra content. And it just seemed like an amazing place to work. Like, everyone seemed so happy and like you're in a beautiful place. You're in Lehi, Utah. Is that?
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
Just like everyone seemed to be really enjoying themselves. It wasn't the sort of like Silicon Valley app factory where you think everyone's heads down and...
In fact, it looks like everybody's sleeping in this morning.
They are. Yeah, we got one guy over here working. He's one of our back end web guys. That's Murphy. Everybody else is either watching the latest sessions on Dub back there or watching from home today.
So I think one of the reasons we wanted to get developers on this month is to find out, well, last week and the week before, what they thought they were going to see. But now you saw the keynote. I know there's a lot more sessions. You're one of the few people who actually makes an iOS app that also is on the Mac. It has been, I think, from day one, dare I say.
From day one. exactly.
So Marzipan, maybe, or now it's called Project Casper.
What's Catalyst.
It called? Catalyst, the friendly ghost. Now, I don't know if that's important to you or not. Would that be of interest to you, the idea of making iOS apps available on macOS?
Yeah, that's still an unknown. I've been really excited about the possibilities of it because we have two separate code bases and then a third that is like we call Day One Core that is shared between the two platforms. But there's so much duplicate work that we do. And we actually just relaunched a redesign of the Mac version 3 about 3 or 4 months ago. So I'm a little hesitant to adopt the Catalina as a replacement for Catalyst on Catalina as a replacement for our native Mac app. Ultimately, I do think it will be replaced. It's just a matter of when makes the most sense.
Yeah.
What the limitations are. It does open up a lot of new things that we're missing, like the Photos framework, PhotoKit. We still, it's very awkward to try and add a photo from your photo library on the Mac, unlike iOS, where you can instantly just open up and browse your photo library inside of an app.
That's true.
And you also do a watchOS version. I mean, you really, you cover the waterfront. Did you see anything with the new watchOS 6 that you thought might be useful?
I do like the standalone nature of watch apps. We launched a new feature of our watch app, which does long form audio recording. So you can essentially record audio in meetings and throughout the day up to around 10 hours of audio.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. And you just set it and let it go. It'll do up to an 8-hour session, but you can break it into multiple entries. And I think that there's yet to be seen the major advantages there, but we like that it's progressing and improving.
Yeah.
One of the things that privacy-conscious people were excited about yesterday was the single sign-on that Apple announced. And I know that you are very privacy-conscious. You guys have encryption in your app. And, I mean, you're sort of already doing that sign-in. Do you have to have an iCloud account in order to fully do that secure sync on day one?
Yeah, the nature of day one being a personal journal, privacy is very important to us. And from the... we've been using essentially what app sign in with Apple is in another way, just allowing users to sign in with their Apple ID, which is just a random string of characters that a randomized ID. We have no identifiable information about that user. So now Apple is like making this official and making it easier to sign in on the web. And so I think it's a great advancement that we will be adopting right away.
Now, you started as a designer. So I think that new Swift, what do they call it, Playground, will be something of...
Swift UI.
Swift UI will be of something of interest to you, I would imagine, because it looks like you can design and code kind of almost in the same space.
Absolutely. As we were watching that reveal yesterday, I made a comment to my guys. I'm like, looks like I'm going to be coding the app myself soon.
Xcode's always had a nice interface designer, but it's starting to look pretty clunky compared to things like React Native. Now, Apple has the king of the hill with this Swift UI. It really looks amazing.
Yeah, and the fact that it's across all the platforms will increase the code shareability and it looks like optimization for speed and definitely reduce a lot of our code.
Yeah, I can't wait to optimize it myself. And I'm just a dumb amateur. So you're buying the new Mac?
Yeah, I've been waiting for that.
This to me was so gratifying. It really felt to me like finally Apple listened to its most ardent hardcore users. And I know people are making fun of Apple for the $1,000 monitor stand, but I think Apple's listening to pros. They said 2 years ago when they said, well, we blew it with the Mac Pro, the trash can Mac. So we brought in a lot of pros in-house to help us make the next Mac. Something I've been saying forever is bring back the cheese grater. What was wrong with the old Mac Pro? That was a great modular device. And it sounds like they've really done that and improved on it as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, cost isn't the factor. They were just like, let's build the best machine that we can, and there's nothing like it. And the display as well looks beautiful.
Man. Yeah.
The display stand also I feel like justifies the price in that there's nothing that exists that's like that.
Right.
That's
right.
Going to perform where you can actually turn your display sideways. You know, you've seen those on the Dell displays and others, but they're clunky. And, you know, Apple did it right and made this thing to last a long time.
Well, I also think they really considered pro use cases. Many pros use ARMs with Visa mounts. They don't want a stand. Why bundle a stand in if they're not going to use it? I think it's sensible to offer them choices. And I suppose because it supports Visa mounting, you could get any inexpensive stand you wanted if you don't want to spend the $1,000. Although anybody who's spending $5,000 on a monitor probably isn't going to blanch at $1,000 to hold it. I would imagine. Are you going to get the monitor too?
Yeah, I think I have to. I mean, I wanted...
That's what Apple wants you to say. I think I have to. Like, yes, you're a designer. You need that reproduction, right?
Yeah, and I had to get two iMacs because there's no 5K standalone display. So now I have an iMac at home and an iMac at work. So
yeah, no, this makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. That's...
I think for any designer or photographer or filmmaker, there's just... And really, when you look at this monitor, and Apple was very quick to point this out, and you're comparing it to reference monitors that cost 10 times as much. So it's not as expensive as it might seem. And I think Paul kind of shows this. Pros are willing to spend money on the tools they use to make money. It's worth it.
Yeah, I think there's a market in the pro space, and it's great that Apple is acknowledging that because this is where everything's created, and the people that create the tools and the apps and do all the work there, like we want to be on Apple's platform.
You have to be if you're going to make a Mac app, right?
Yeah, but I mean, in video editing and anything outside of Apple development, I think preferably you could still do that on the Mac. But, you know, when they stopped providing adequate hardware, you had to question and look around and see what else is out there.
That's right. That's what we did. Our editors all moved to Dell Precision Workstations because this was when they made the big change to Xcode, which we had been using. So they moved to Adobe Premiere on a Windows device.
Final Cut.
No, they don't use Final Cut because they're on a Windows device. What did I say?
Xcode.
Yeah. Final Cut. Yeah. Final Cut really got gutted. So,
does anyone work on an iPad there? I mean, aside from testing the app, or is it all Macs?
Oh, is it as like their workstation on iPad?
Yeah.
there's a couple. One of the support reps, primarily iPad. But still works on a Mac. So I wouldn't say nobody's like full in iPad yet.
Interesting, because that seems to be the next direction. In fact, I had money on the idea that Apple might announce Xcode for the iPad, the development environment for the iPad, because that's the one thing you still need a Mac for. But they didn't. quite there yet. Although, remember, we were wondering, and they didn't announce mouse support, but Renee Ritchie did check in the accessibility settings, and there is mouse support now for the iPad and a trackpad support, but Apple, I think, didn't want to highlight it. Mm-hmm. They really still want to think of it as a touch-first device.
Yeah.
I also like to know from developers, I mean, because as a consumer, it's always interesting, like, oh, is this app going to be a subscription app, or is it going to be a pay-once, and ads? You have no ads. Talk a little bit about your process in coming up with the monetization for day one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we been pretty fortunate in being able to transition to a subscription app, where it started out as a paid app. It was $10 on the Mac and $5 on iOS. It was really consistent with sales over the years, but it wasn't sustainable longer term. Like, it was hard to project and you know, hire more and build up a company around this product without some being able to project revenue and keep it consistently coming in. And the subscription model is so much healthier for software applications, especially ones that have ongoing costs with cloud storage. And I think something that's used and iterating and improving over time, you know, it needs to be actively developed and improved upon. So That worked really well for us, but although it was a hard transition, you know, we had to grandfather users in that had purchased the app before, and then, you know, we hoped that the freemium model would work in offering a free tier, and that's what we give away a whole lot. So, you know, half the entries created every day are by free users, and they get a lot of value on it. If you're only using one device, for example, that it's, you know, your journal data can be backed up with your iCloud backup. So you can get by just fine on the free tier and add one photo per entry. But now we're in a mode of just not being reliant on major releases and new features to sell a new version. Instead, we're just like focusing on performance and the things that, you know, customers may not notice right away, but over time they make a big difference. And so it really gave us a better perspective and priority on how we develop the app, being subscription. And it worked with users. You know, this is a lifetime use app. These are memories that people are capturing in there that they want to retain forever. Mm-hmm. And though we have like JSON and plain text and PDF export always available for free, it is a nice just repository of your personal moments and thoughts that you can gather from anywhere.
Yeah, I find it makes a great travel journal. But now that you have unlimited recording from the watch, I'm thinking I could also use it as a business journal, because I could use it to keep track of meetings. And I mean, the uses are go on and on. Unfortunately, with Day One, you can have multiple journals. So I can't have a business journal, a travel journal, and all that. I mean, it's really great. And I have been putting audio into my posts as well, which makes it really a lot of fun. So
that's great.
Keep up the good work, I guess, and keep adding features, because it's pretty amazing what you've done, I really have to say. In fact, here you see I'm started a bucket list of places and I want to go. Another useful, so you can keep lists.
That's great. We're close to rolling out templates, which include different types of lists, including a bucket list. So that's, yeah, you're right in tune with how to use the app. It's excellent.
It's a great way for me to use to make a photo album, you call it a journal. It's a lot more than a journal. Mm-hmm. It's a place to store everything. It can be used as a notepad as well. You know, I really love what you've done with it. I love what you've done with the place.
Do you still use a paper journal ever?
She wants you to put Bujo features into this. She wants Bujo. Yeah.
Do you still?
No, I've never journaled by paper. Oh. No, the reason I created this is I wanted to keep a journal, but could never build a habit with the handwritten thing. I wanted with me, and Mac Journal was like the popular journaling app, but it was like a $50 app. And it had grown old by the time the Mac App Store launched. So I was like, I want something simple and clean and with a mobile component. And it motivated me to journal. And then now that I have been journaling for 8 years, I've realized it's a very underrated practice. There's so many benefits to journaling, practically just, you know, like capturing notes from a meeting and your impressions like right after. But also it gives you a lot of clarity and, you know, gratitude journaling. Definitely it reduces anxiety and stress, and there's countless benefits. And so I'm hoping to promote those things and bring them, help our users understand ways that they can use it to improve their lives.
I do have to say that and you mentioned an older journaling product on the Mac. And that always is the concern that I have when I invest, as I have, go all in on a product like this, that what happens when you retire, or, you know, when you decide we can't make a go of this, what happens to all my content?
Yeah, that's the great underrated feature of the app, is that it's offline first. So everything that's in your journal is stored on your device first. And so you can go offline, and as soon as you reconnect, it can sync back up with our cloud storage.
But it stores, you know, it in a format storage that I could read with other programs. Is it RTFT?
Well, right. What are you using? You can always export as either plain text. That's the easiest readable. But then our JSON format is our official export.
Ah,
so
nice.
It's easily machine readable, includes all the metadata that's captured. So it could be ingested into anything else and without any data loss. And then the PDF export. We also offer like a book printing service, so you can print out
a
book right in the app.
Oh, that's great. Oh, man. Yeah. Look at that. That's a great idea. That's something you don't need a software to read.
Yeah.
That's a great way to archive stuff. I always say that. You know, what's lasted 1,000 years?
Yeah.
Books. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you decide to run off to Hawaii and your company, we're okay, is what you're saying.
So, yeah, if our cloud service just went off the grid, you would still have all your data on your devices that you could export from. Yeah. And that's, you know, I built this thing is what I would want if I were to put my trust in and to use an app like this. I would want the assurance that, you know, I own the data and that I can always access it.
I love it that you're also active. It's an active development with a team of 14 people. I'm not surprised. But for instance, you added Siri shortcuts when shortcuts became available. You're always paying attention to the new technologies because Apple's always adding new technologies. Boy, they added a lot yesterday. So I love that. If you want something that's an active development like this, you're always coming up with new ways to put it on the watch. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. That's well done.
So was there anything else from WWDC that we haven't mentioned that was exciting to you?
One thing that's kind of unique to us related to the privacy is CryptoKit. It's a new framework that they just introduced. They haven't done a session on it yet, but it was in the release notes. And that is going to make our cryptography, our end-to-end encryption, much more efficient and easier to manage. We're using an OpenSSL project that handles a lot of that stuff now, but it's this is a major upgrade for us.
Tell me about the CryptoKit because I hadn't read about that. Will that'll be an interface to Strong Crypto?
Yeah, I think it's I'm not the best one to describe that. One of my top developers was just telling me about it when I was asking the team about some of their favorite things from that have been announced. So I read up on it, but it's not the language I speak.
Yeah. I'm glad you're a designer, Paul, because so many apps like this are clearly done by engineers. Mm-hmm. This app is designed from the ground up to be beautiful, easy to use. I love, for instance, just a little thing. Here I am looking at a picture that's in one of my blog posts, and I want to zoom in on it. It immediately goes full screen, so I can zoom in. Maybe that's an Apple thing. Because I think, what is that?
No, we built that.
That's
all that stuff.
Really
has
sweet.
To be done.
You can check Pokemon Ball.
Really? There. Yeah. Nice. I noticed there's something on her shoulder. What is that? Oh, she's playing Pokemon Go. That's my wife. Cray, cray.
And then you could share just that.
That's
picture
a cool
too.
Bike.
Isn't that nice? Yeah. Our son rode off to school on it this morning. Be great in Lehigh, I tell you. Thank you for doing a wonderful, wonderful job with Day One. It's a must-have app, and I agree with you. It's a great discipline to acquire. It's actually Megan that got me kind of. I've been a Day One user for probably 6 of those 8 years, but you know, I do it for a week and then I stop. Mm-hmm. And it's Megan, her commitment to her bullet journal, her Bujo.
I'm learning to use Day One in addition to my bullet journal.
It would be perfect for you.
Because, I can't add photos to my bullet journal.
Can you add bullet journal bullets to your Day One journal?
So they're paid to do.
We have a pretty advanced editor that we built all in-house from the ground up. It's a rich text editor, so checklists. And so originally we were just a markdown plain text,
look at this here.
Quotes.
Yeah, it's got all the little things. So there's a great example of, yes, you use Apple technologies, but instead of just using TextKit and, you know, leaving it at that, you've actually put in a lot of additional features for people like bullet journal users. That's really, really cool. And I can even put all of this information in it. Automatically it'll take the location, see the map, take the weather. I've loved that feature. That was relatively recent where it puts the weather in every post. My altitude, clearly in Utah, that's more important than it is here. really.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
And I love it just because it's not about getting likes or it's not about sharing everything with everyone.
Hallelujah.
It's just about your own memories and you can share what you want. And not what you don't want.
Yeah. It's definitely inspired by social media as I use Twitter and in the early days before anybody like followed me on there, it was like, yeah, I wanted that same outlet of just like status updates throughout the day.
Right.
But where it's just for me.
For you, your status updates. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Paul, really thank sweet. You so much for taking the time to talk to us, and hope of you're course. Hopefully, we've introduced Day One to people who might have not heard about it, and can't wait to see all the new developments.
And if you want a journal, better call Paul.
Yes.
Yes.
Better call Paul.
Nice. Right.
Take care, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Leo and Megan.
Day
awesome.
One.
Thank you.
Everybody should get it and be a premium subscriber because it's really worth it. Really good.
Do you want to talk some more about WWDC, or do you want to take
well,
a meditation
break? Well,
there
was so much. Even after our, we're sitting and listening to the keynote yesterday. There is a live stream special that we did, Megan and I, yesterday. So you can go to twit.tv/specials and watch that if you want to catch up and hear our commentary on it. But there was so much that even at the end of it, we couldn't summarize it, really.
No.
There's certain things that stand out, like that Mac Pro, which I will not be buying.
Yeah,
it's a little pricey for the likes
of proud of you.
Us.
I'm proud of you for not buying something that you don't need.
Well, wait till it comes out. Then be proud of me. I can't buy it right now. But no, I really don't need this. This is so expensive. And one of the things I'm trying to figure out, I know some people have done some research, is if you got all the way up to the 28-core Xeon W, maxed out the memory to, 1.4 terabytes of RAM? If you got put in the two Vega 2 card modules, how much would that cost? And I have to think it's $50,000. I think it starts at $6,000, but that's barely configured. I have a feeling and then you add the monitor, you're talking a lot of money.
Yeah, I would prefer to send my children to college.
Yes, exactly. There's the choice.
But on the other hand, 1 year.
Maybe you just give the kid this and say, hey.
Yeah, do something.
Do something and make money because that's it.
Good idea.
That's your college right there in that box.
It's actually probably cheaper than 4 years of college.
Not much. Depends on the college, I guess. But not much. I bet you actually, if you max that out, it'd be about 4 years of college at a state school.
Yeah. Anyway,
I'm very excited. Apple announced so many new features in iOS, so many new features in macOS. We will get a chance to see them in their developer betas are out, but the public betas will be out next month, which is really, or the month after, which is very exciting. So we're going to get to play with those. I always have to make that difficult decision. Do I take my lovely iPad and put a beta OS. Mm-hmm. In this case, you bet, because so much in there for iPad. In fact, they're calling it iPad OS.
Yeah.
That this is going to become, I think, a very desirable computer. One thing alone that always drives me crazy, I use Lightroom on here, and the workflow for Lightroom, if you want to use your iPad Pro to edit pictures, it has a Type-C port, so you can connect your camera card to it, but it has to import it into Apple's Photos first and then into Lightroom. That's going to change. The ability to use an SSD or a USB drive, that's going to be huge, to have storage on there. That makes this live up to its promise, and so I'm very, very excited about
it. The second screen?
I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, Android for a long time, and I've talked about it a lot, has allowed widgets on the desktop screen, which I always thought was a very nice feature. Now you're going to be able to swipe over your notifications and leave them on the screen like widgets, but only, I guess, on the front screen. I don't know exactly how that's going to work. That's going to be kind of weird. And then, of course, the ability to have better windowing capability. Mm-hmm. The second screen, you're talking about Duet-style second screen.
Yeah.
I've been using Duet for a long time, both on Windows and Mac. That's going to be interesting. Getting rid of iTunes is going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, what's sad is that people on Windows will still have to use iTunes forever. Forever. I feel bad.
They won't
I feel bad for them. But on the Mac, you're going to have music, podcasts, and TV instead of one monolithic program. About time. That's that's long been overdue.
Yeah.
So lots of good stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. It's very, very exciting.
There wasn't much about the iPhone, I think. You know, there just really wasn't. In past years, it's all about the iPhone, and you're thinking like, oh, did they forget about the iPad? But there just really wasn't. I mean, there was a little bit of stuff about iOS 13, but it was very little.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You know, they didn't mention, we thought they'd mention the Apple credit card because it's supposedly mm-hmm. close to being released. Mm-hmm. Maybe even throw titanium cards out at the audience. Yeah. But no, they didn't even mention that that existed. No. There was so much. They went 2 hours and 15 minutes, moved as fast as you can. Of course, the big story on iOS 13 for the iPhone is dark mode. Mm-hmm. And on the newer iPhones with OLED screens, that should be a big power saver. Mm-hmm. And of course, a lot of people aesthetically prefer dark mode. I'm not a big dark mode fan,
but neither.
On the phone, it's not so bad.
And there was the quick path typing too.
They're adding swipe style typing. Mm-hmm. So maybe Swift Key and Swipe are Sherlocked. I don't know. Swipe was Sherlocked a long time ago, actually. I think it's going to be very interesting. It's a new world for Apple. It's hard for me to understand, and I think we'll probably talk about it more on Mac Break Weekly later on today, what Apple's long-term strategy is for the Mac, for the iPad, and the iPhone. For a long time, it looked as if they didn't care about the Mac. They've proven that that's not the case. Mm-hmm. But as I mentioned yesterday, maybe what they're saying is the Mac is going to be the high-priced power tool, the truck, for people who really need that. For everybody else, there's the iPad. That's what I think. That's where I think they're going. But we'll see.
But they did just introduce the MacBook
Pros.
Airs.
They're not going to get rid of the MacBook Pro or the Air for a while. Mm-hmm. But when they go to the ARM processor platform, they're moving iOS apps over to Mac OS. I have a feeling that the line will simplify once again. Mm-hmm. Apple doesn't like to have too many different products.
Now, did they just introduce new MacBook Pros or just MacBook Airs?
They upgraded the MacBook Pro with better chips 2 weeks ago.
Then,
of course, let's not forget the iPod Touch. By the way, I finally understand. We should add the iPod Touch to our thing here.
Are you getting one?
No, but I finally understand why the iPod Touch is actually a product in the product line. I was talking yesterday to one of our fans. He was in the studio for Twit. Actually, the day before yesterday, he works at a big company in mobility. And he says iPod Touches are widely used in retail, hospitals, and other areas where they need a small device that they can do things like scan prescriptions or make notes on or make purchases on. And he said the reason that they didn't change the form factor at all is because these companies have invested in holders, sleds that they put these iPod Touches in, and they have a specific form factor. They don't want to change that at all.
That's interesting.
So really, this is a product he says is never going to go away as long as retail and hospitals and others use it for inventory and so forth. It's apparently a very widespread usage for this.
Yeah, I did because we asked who.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I have some more during our feedback. I'll tell you other ways people are using it.
Okay, good.
All right, we have some news, but first let's take a little meditation break, don't you
think? Oh, it's time to get calm. I've been calm already today. I think talking to Paul calmed me.
Yes, yeah.
He's
you
very
want to
calming.
Move to Utah now?
Well, I know why Paul's there. You could tell he's a snowboarder. You can look at him, right?
Yeah. Someone in the chat room was saying it's Silicon Slopes.
Is that what they call it? The Silicon Slopes is where all the snowboarders go? I think there's probably a few beautiful glacial lakes there as well, like that. That's calm. Calm is the app that will help you focus, that will help you relax. We're always overstimulated, hyper-connected, binge-watching these days. The modern world is so stressful. Wouldn't it be nice to have something on your iPhone or iPad that calms you down? Meditation, we know, actually changes your brain chemistry. It eliminates stress chemicals like cortisol and adrenaline from your bloodstream. Gives you much needed relief. In fact, the World Health Organization says stress is the new health epidemic of the 21st century. You'll discover a whole library of simple guided meditations. I'm a Calm premium member, and that's why I have the Daily Calm, for instance. Here, let's listen and see what Tamara has for us.
Welcome to the Daily Calm. Today, we'll be exploring the concept of karma.
Oh.
Start by getting comfortable.
If you've never meditated before, this is a great way to start. These are guided meditations. If you're having trouble sleeping, the sleep stories are incredible. There's Matthew McConaughey. What's Matthew up to?
Well, hello there.
Hi, Matthew.
I'm Matthew McConaughey.
I know.
Tonight I'll be reading a special sleep story called Wonder.
Oh. It's great. You can get sleep stories for kids. She and the Tree of Slumber.
Hello.
Hello.
It's Philip
Tonight,
Alexander.
I'm going to tell you a mesmerizing tale.
Sometimes adults like children's stories. Don't you think that may not just be for children?
Yeah.
There's a lot of great stuff. Grimm's Fairy Tales, Painting with Bob Ross. I can go on and on. This is just the sleep section.
It's also on your watch. Did you know that?
Yeah. Calm on the Watch is awesome. There's also music. You know, Moby's latest album. Did you know that Moby released his latest album? Nowhere But Calm. It's ambient music, beautiful ambient music from, I think, somebody once called him the Mozart of EDM. He is an amazing... Oh. So a lot of people, coders, work with this kind of in the background. If you're coding, you don't want stuff in the background that's going to take your brain away from what it's working on. So this helps you focus. But there's also sounds to help you sleep. Let's go to India. You want to go to India?
Absolutely.
I'd love to go to India together. This is a focus track using Indian style sounds. There's a lot in here. This is perhaps the most amazing program ever. Here's Calm Kids with meditations for kids from ages 3 and up. Oh man, I wish I'd had that when my kids were little. If you're stressed, take a deep breath and get calm. In fact, we're going to make it a little less stressful because we're going to give you 25% off your Calm premium subscription. But you have to go to calm.com/iOS today. C-A-L-M, calm.com/iOS today. 40 million people have downloaded Calm now. That's 40 million people who are living their best selves. Calm.com/iOS today. Calm, thank you for doing such a great job, for supporting our show. And I thank you, our listeners and viewers, for supporting us too by going to calm.com/iOS today. You really have to try this out.
Mm-hmm. Don't try to listen to us while you're falling asleep. You got to be alert.
I think I'm very relaxing. Some say soporific.
No. You are, but me, you never know what I'm going to start screeching out.
That was the best app. Man, I loved that app. Okay. Privacy as a service company. This is TechCrunch.
Yeah. So you sent this article, put this article on your pin board. Of all the announcements, everything's sort of related, a lot of stuff.
They're doubling down on this.
Yeah.
They really, and this is a smart move for them because it's a direct, you know, slap in the face to Facebook and Google, their competition. It's very smart for Apple to do this. And things like that single sign-on where, now I'm really curious to see how many people use this. I bet because it's Apple, a lot of people will. When you use sign-on with Facebook, sign-on with Twitter, sign-on with Google, you're sending that information to both the app or the website you're signing into and Facebook, Google, or Twitter. With Apple, they're going to keep it private, and they don't even necessarily send your email address to the app. They send a special email address. The email will go to you, but it's untied to your identity, and you can cancel it anytime it's unique to that app or website. This is brilliant. Mm-hmm. I'm so pleased Apple did this.
They also did the HomeKit-enabled stuff.
That was interesting. Yeah. Again, a lot of this is going to depend on adoption. So if you're making video cameras... For surveillance, like the Nest Cam that's over my shoulder, you make a lot of the money you make is on a monthly subscription, right, to Nest?
Yeah.
Apple wants to offer this for free, but I have to wonder how many cameras are going to support it. They had a couple of brands. They had Logitech and...
Netatmo. Eufy.
And Eufy.
Yeah.
Not the three biggest names, but not the three smallest either.
Yeah.
I doubt Google or Amazon will ever support these new HomeKit features. But if others do, and most importantly, if there's pressure from us as consumers to do it, that is really going to be good. So thank you, Apple, for at least offering an alternative path.
Yeah. So is there anything that gives you pause with the fact that it's privacy as a service? Does it worry you that it's going to cost money? It's going to price people out?
That's exactly what Sundar Pichai said at Google I.O. He said, privacy shouldn't be a luxury item. And it was a direct slap at Apple because, of course, Apple products are higher priced. Apple charges a premium. And in a way, you kind of have to charge a premium for privacy. Google gives you a lot of stuff for free, but it's not really free. You're trading your privacy to Google for those free services. Apple's saying, we want to have an explicit transaction. You're going to pay us. You're going to buy our hardware. And as a result, we don't need to sell your information. Right. That's, you know, I think it's nice to have a choice. Let's put it that way. It's nice to have a choice. Some people will choose that, right?
Yeah, I think so. I the thing about the single sign-on that is interesting to me is that I definitely play a little fast and loose with my privacy. Like, I try a lot of stuff. So that, you know, we do it for you.
Yeah.
But the sign-on, like signing on through Facebook and Google, I gave up that long ago because that also gives away your contacts information. So it's not just
Well, not necessarily.
But Facebook was using that for, like, the knowledge graph when you signed in.
Right. But it still has to ask you to get access to your contacts. It doesn't automatically give your contacts to Facebook. They have to ask you for it.
Does it? So I thought that there was such thing as like shadow profiles. You've read about that.
Well, they got in trouble and they did this to 1.5 million people out of, what is it, 2 billion Facebook users. And I think they got in trouble. They said it was a mistake. It was a mistaken code.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, no. When you're using Facebook, Twitter, or Google as a single sign-on, you're not giving them any other information than the fact that you're using them to sign on to a website. The website gets your Facebook or Google or Twitter email, whatever you use to sign up there. And Twitter, Facebook, and Google, whatever company, gets a signal that, oh, you know, Megan's signing up for this app. They don't automatically get your contacts. Mm-hmm. They often will ask for them, but that's the app, not Facebook, Google, and Twitter. These single sign-on things are really a convenience. The reason I don't use them is because, for instance, when I killed my Facebook account, all these places I'd sign into, I could no longer sign into. So that was a real red flag for me. I realized, you know, that makes me dependent. Maybe this is why they do it on Google, Facebook, Twitter, or Apple. If I use Apple ID to sign in, I can never get rid of my Apple ID. I can't even change it, really. So it's a kind of lock-in that I prefer not to. I almost always will use an email. And what I do to get some of the same benefit, I use a fake email address, or not a fake one, but a special email address that is just dedicated to that company.
Oh, that's kind of a pain, isn't it?
Not really. Not when you're as clever as I am.
Savvy. Not when you're king of the internet.
What it is, the way I do it, and we've talked about our sponsor, Helm. If you have, as I do, a domain for email that's just mine, anything preceding the at sign doesn't matter, can go to me.
Oh.
So what I'll do if I sign up, say, for day one, I'll say that the email address I'm using is day one at that email address. And so I always know if they sell it, I know who sold it.
Right.
And if I want to kill it, I can kill it.
Huh.
So that preserves a little bit of privacy. They see my domain, but they don't necessarily get my real email address.
Mm.
You could. That's an easy thing to do. Anybody can do that.
Some other news. We talked a couple weeks ago about those parental control apps using
mobile device management
and VPN. Apple.
New York Times did a big story saying Apple's killing the competition, putting them all out of business.
And then they decided, oh, okay, you can use MDM and you can use VPN. And
they're saying as long as you don't get any information.
Right, from kids, and you don't sell the information from kids. But, I mean, conveniently, this was the day after the antitrust news from yesterday that happened right in the middle of WWDC that I'm sure you're going to talk more about.
One never knows if it's because Congress and the FTC the DOJ is investigating Apple. One never knows if companies, when they're under investigation, do these things because they're under investigation or just because it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think Apple is probably taking the right tone here, which is, we have very powerful technologies which can be used to invade privacy. Initially, I think it was fine for them to say, well, you can't use those for parental control apps because then it leaks a lot of information to the company. If they can really, truly make sure the company's not getting that personal information, then this is a good compromise. But I wonder, can they?
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. They never, like, Apple never said they were doing this. That, you know, no one proved that these companies were using this inappropriately.
Right.
They didn't say whether they'd found evidence of the apps doing all this. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm sort of My kids have aged out of the parental control app, so.
They did that at the age of four.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, probably I would say once they're 13, you know, they're it's just like I've done my best. You're out of the nest.
Nothing I can do to help you now. You're on your own, kid.
But the ones I tried were clunky, and you know
that was the thing you tried. Right. In fact, that big one that was the number mm-hmm. one app that did use MDM, which is
Our Pact.
The Our Pact, yeah. Right? It was the enterprise signing certificate, and you didn't even like it.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, it is that question of, well, a lot of people are like, well, Apple does it better, you know, that, and some people believe that, and that's fine, but you do have choice. There's, like, you know, the Find My Friends app where you can track your children's every move if you want to. You know, I know lots and lots of people who use Life 360, which is a third-party app.
And it's a little bit more sophisticated. Apple's apps, this is what we were talking about. We were talking to James Thompson of pCalc. Remember, he was worried that he was going to be a little Sherlocked. In fact, he was. There's a calculator on the Apple Watch Apple announced yesterday. But he also said, I don't worry so much because Apple's solutions usually are 70% mm-hmm. and I can offer the 100% solution. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same thing with parental trackers. Apple's got some capabilities, but a third party can and probably should do even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but that's some interesting news. And let's see what, you wanted to talk a little bit about the hearing aids on the Apple Watch.
Well, we got a question. Do we want to read that question or not?
Yes.
It was an elaborate question.
It was an elaborate question.
The issue is there are hearing aids made for iPhones, MFI mm-hmm. hearing aids. I had the Starkey Resound the Starkey Halos for a long time. This is new hearing aids from Resound. And if you get MFI hearing aids, they will pair with your phone. Let me show you. The capabilities, which is kind of cool. And one of the things they can do is route audio into your hearing aids. So I'm going to go into accessibility here on the iPhone. And at the very bottom, you will see MFI hearing devices. Whoops. MFI hearing devices. And you'll see my hearing aids are connected, it says right there. And there's some interesting features. Audio routing is one that's very interesting. So if somebody calls me, I can actually, instead of these are like Bluetooth headphones. I can hear the call instead of on the iPhone. I can hear it in my hearing aids. Now, the hearing aids don't come with microphones, unlike Bluetooth headphones. So you're still using the microphone on the phone. And our listener liked that feature, but he said, but I want to do it also with the Apple Watch. He can hear the audio. It's paired. In fact, if I look at the pairings on the Apple Watch, I can see that it can see my headphones. It's paired. But he said, but why can't I use the microphone on the Apple Watch? He can only use the microphone on the phone. He can't use the Apple Watch. So if he doesn't have his phone, he'll be able to hear a call. He can answer a call, hear a call, but they won't be able to hear him. And I looked into it, and there is actually an Apple tech note on this. And while Apple hasn't said, it seems to be that Apple is restricting that capability. You never know with MFI hearing aids. It's a lot of work. Apple's moving very rapidly, much more rapidly than most hearing aid companies. That's going to change, I think, because in the future, hearing aids will be offered over the counter, which will mean they're much more kind of high-tech devices. The hearing aid industry, which has been very hidebound, is kind of old-fashioned. So often when you get a new version of iOS, it breaks the accessibility features on the hearing aids. There are features that you would think would come with the hearing aids that don't, like the ability to use the watch as a mic. I did a little research into it. The Resounds don't. I think it is really just a limitation in made for iFi hearing aids, whether it's the hearing aid manufacturers or Apple. I don't know. Mm. But I wasn't able to get it to do that either.
That question was from Bruce.
Thank you, Bruce. Question, Bruce. Yeah, it's a good question. And either the Starkey Halos, the Starkey has a new platform called Livio that does heart rate and other medical monitoring with the hearing aids. I think that's a very interesting platform mm-hmm. too. But I think if you do use an iPhone, you should absolutely look for made for iPhone hearing aids. There are a number of brands that do
and
that.
And we'll put that tech note in the show notes.
Yes.
For you too. So we got some feedback about who's using the iPod Touch and why. John, our engineer here, he had a very elaborate reason. He has a 13-year-old iPod Classic, and his Alpine head unit recognizes it as an iPod, and he can use the Alpine screen for all the iPod functionality.
Oh, that's cool. So it's kind of like ancient CarPlay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ancient CarPlay, exactly, yes. And the new iPod Touch may be too capable to be relegated to just playing music, but having the interface work with my head unit and the gapless playback fits my needs. So.
That is very nice. Yeah.
Robert Bigelow said his intention to buy the new iPod Touch for use, among other things, as voice over IP phone using Skype.
Well, that's the nice thing. You don't have to have a SIM card. You can use FaceTime or Skype or some other voice over IP to make phone calls, audio or video if you want with the iPod Touch. So it's just so small. It's 4 inches, but I explained earlier why it is so small. They didn't want to change the form factor because so many enterprise users have little sleds that they put those into, and it has to be the same size and shape.
And I interviewed Joseph Cox from Motherboard, and he, in order to talk to us, he uses Skype on an iPod, an old iPod Touch, because he's a privacy, I wanted to say freak, but I don't mean to be. He's privacy minded. And so the SIM card, you know, he's very concerned with people tracking you through the SIM card wherever you go. So he uses an iPod Touch. He doesn't have a phone. No phone.
Yeah, a phone is the ultimate tracking device, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. I guess it is.
And does the iPod Touch, it doesn't have GPS in it.
Well, I mean, could you turn it off?
The only thing I would say about that is you have no 911 either. So it isn't a phone in an emergency. So keep that in mind.
Now, someone on Twitter.
Oh, well, that makes it true.
That you do have, that with an iPod Touch, you can do 911. And now I wish I had tried to confirm that.
Well, I know Skype. I guess it would depend what service you're using. Maybe there are some voice over internet services that use 911. The problem is if your device doesn't have GPS and you call 911, where are they going to go?
Yeah. So we're...
I'm standing in a cornfield in Lee, Iowa.
How to make emergency calls through iPod Touch fifth generation. Looks like there's some sort of emergency screen.
Well, that's an emergency call. That's not 911.
What's the difference between an emergency call and 911?
Well, I'm calling you. Megan,
oh,
I'm having
calls.
An emergency.
And I'll call 911. Or will I?
No, maybe it is 911 because I don't think you can call Megan.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. We need, this is one we need to call a lifeline on this one, I guess.
It may be that they have to. I mean, they build that in. You don't have to have. In fact, this is by law the case with smartphones. Is even if there's not a SIM, even if you don't have phone service, you can always use it for a 911 call. But I have to point out that it's a limit. If you don't have a GPS, if you don't have E911 and GPS location coming from a device, you can reach 911 as long as you know where you are. You can give them the address and you can talk. You're okay. But if you're unable to speak, that's one of the real advantages of 911 is it knows where you are and they can send emergency vehicles right away.
I wonder if you could set up an Apple Watch with an iPod Touch because I know you need...
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can't.
Nope.
Oh. Do you have something that you wanted to show off there?
A big plastic bag. What do you think, folks?
Oh, I know what this is.
You do?
Yeah, because he asked for our address.
Oh.
We chat on Instagram. We're friends.
Mr. Throwboy.
Yes.
He's at it again, ladies and gentlemen. Throwboy makes the best pillows in the world. They're all kind of geeky pillows. This one is called, I love this, 2007. What do you think it is? I think it's an iPhone. Let's see if I can get it out of the plastic here. Well, much like an iPhone. Look at that. Isn't that
just
cute?
Like an iPhone.
A little iPhone throw pillow. Thank you, Roberto. What else do we have in here? Oh, this is vintage classic, an Apple II.
Oh.
These are the 1977 pillow line from Roberto Hoya, the throw boy. Oh, look at that. Whoa. Oh, that is freaking awesome.
That is good.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Please don't squeeze the computer.
And then Oh, you're going to like this, Megan Maroney.
Oh.
You could tie this into your Alpine head end
yeah.
in your 1973 Corvette. Look at that. Also from the night. This is a 2001 pillow.
This iPod will always remind me of our time together commuting to San Francisco.
Because we had
in the early 2000s, and you had, and we listened to audiobooks, and it was such a pain to rewind. Rilo was like, ah, how do you do that?
I love this. So he's put the, he probably for trademark reasons can't call that an Apple IIc mm-hmm. or Apple IIe. He can't call this an iPod. So he names them the year of release. So that is a 1977. The iPhone is a 2007. And this is a 2001.
So there is a headphone jack. But I don't
yes,
know, yeah.
that's because it's the original.
That's the head.
This is the original yeah. iPhone. Yeah. Wow. It comes with a headphone jack.
And it works.
No connector at all. John wanted to know if it was a 30-pin connector.
I love this Throw Boy.
This is great.
I just bought this Roberto. Rainbow Heart pillow that here, and I bought this one because I love it. It's so cute and soft.
He makes the bestest
Throwboy.com
pillows. Throwboy.com. And we've known Roberto for years.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, I think he made these himself, you know, on his own little sewing machine. I think he's been doing it since 2007, so
yeah.
he's been doing it a long time. It's mm-hmm. not just a pillow. It's a Throw Boy.
It's not just a pillow. It's a Throw Boy.
We
oh, yeah,
also
there's
have
some more Throw Boys.
A Twit Throw Boy.
Aww.
And I don't know if that's if you could buy that. I don't know if that's sold in stores. And, of course, he's got emojis. I gave away the poop one. So
you did?
Yeah.
Who did you give it to?
Sarah.
Oh.
Did Sarah take it home with her? Maybe. I think Sarah Lane might have it, yeah. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Roberto Hoya, mm-hmm. Throw Boy.
You can get an avocado pillow, too.
I have another bag we'll open. Avocado.
Yeah, here, wait, where did that avocado pillow go? I mean, you should, because it's probably going to be cheaper than avocados pretty soon. With
yeah, no
all
kidding.
Of the,
yeah. It's also issues. The biggest avocado I've. You know, an interesting story about avocados.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, you want to know? I'm going to do my Cliff Clavin.
Okay.
Did you know the avocado there? That's a giant pit, isn't it?
Yeah.
The avocado was spread by large ruminants like the woolly mammoths because they were big enough when they ate the avocado, they'd swallow the pit and poop it out.
Mm.
But no animal alive today could swallow an avocado pit and poop it out.
Not an elephant?
Maybe elephants. I don't know. But really, the avocado survives today because of the desire of mankind to culture it, to grow it. They have to, you know, have you ever done that? You put toothpicks in an avocado mm-hmm. pit and you grow it in a glass mm-hmm. of water? No more mammoths, but at least we've got housewives.
Yeah. Housewives.
I'm channeling.
More like a kid.
Cliffy Clavin. That's not.
I mean, if I really want, I love avocados. They're a very healthy snack. But
they're not keto. I'm so sorry to say. I'm really disappointed. I can't
like
eat
that.
Avocados.
It's healthy fat.
It is. It's good fat. It's healthy fat. It's also 22 carbs per avocado. Mm-hmm. So I'm not allowed.
All right. Okay. So I know we're not really going to change the name of the show, but we still keep getting recommendations of how to get our app into the App Store because it can't have the iOS in it.
Somebody said iOS Now, which
yeah.
solves nothing.
No,
but okay.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
So Bill sent us this audio recording for a name. So we could listen to it.
Hey, Megan. Hey, Leo. My name's Bill, and I'm from
Bill's not coming out of the.
Thanks for doing consistently great iOS Today shows.
Is he coming in your headphones?
I love to watch every one of them.
Okay.
I'd like to suggest a name for your Apple TV app. The name is Twitious. Twitios.
Oh, I like it.
Take care.
It's hideous.
Twitious.
It's the hideous show called Twitious.
So are you not, I heard that. Did you disconnect your headphones or something? Did the thing?
It sounded like it was coming out of your iPad. iPads have such a rich, deep sound. Sometimes they fool me.
It's true.
Did you notice? Did you know that?
Yeah. Yeah.
They really sound. These new iPad Pros sound so good.
Dan from Fresno, he refers to himself as one of our many blind listeners. He says, I just listened to an episode of iOS Today where you and Leo talked about Bluetooth earbud alternatives to AirPods. You should take a look at Anker's Bluetooth earbuds. They're pretty good and offer the same features.
50 schmackers.
These are $21.
Oh, yeah. But they have ones that are in a case like the AirPods.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that are $50.
Have, yeah, wireless.
So
yeah.
I just.
But these are great. I use these.
Yeah,
all the time.
They magnet together. They're. I made them part of my PowerBeats Pro review, which I compared the PowerBeats Pro to the AirPods, and that'll be coming out soon, I think. But these are great. They're $21. And I mean, because our thing was, you know, you don't want to necessarily just go on Amazon and just find the cheapest knockoff because you don't really know. You're not going to get a lot of support. But Anker is a company that we trust. And these are fine. They're not, I kind of like them because they're connected to each other. It's harder to lose them. And they have these little ear hooks and they fit in my ears just fine. You can see they do collect a bit of earwax, but that's nothing to be ashamed about. And have the
Anker
controls there.
Is the Eufy brand, is Anker.
Oh.
Yeah, I should have mentioned that. So let me show you. These are the ones that I don't know which ones he's talking about. But Anker also sells in-ear earbuds that look really kind of like the much more expensive PowerBeats Pro. Well, or the AirPods, but really actually mostly like the Jabra, Jabra Elites. These are called Zolos. So... And if you shop around, they're very inexpensive.
So does Eufy own Anker or does Anker own Eufy?
Anker owns Eufy. It's one of the Anker brands. Anker, Eufy, Roav or Rove.
And they're a Chinese company?
Anker is, yeah. But they're trying to be the Apple of accessories. They're trying really hard to be kind of higher quality than just kind of some, you know, these kind of inexpensive Chinese knockoffs. I think it's really interesting, though, that they're able to offer... So here's all the headphones. Mm-hmm. But they're able to offer these Zolos for around $50. You know, they're the charging case, they're in-ear, they're wireless, fully wireless. They were down to $35 earlier, which is pretty amazing. I think these are, the sound cores, I guess, are $50.
Now, they won't pair as easily as the AirPods or the PowerBeats.
Oh, it's so hard to pair them.
I love the PowerBeats because I switch between my computer and my iPad, my iPhone and my Apple TV so often, and you don't have to go into the settings.
That's true. Once you pair them with any of your iOS devices, it works with all of them.
And like it's paired... So what these do, the Anker ones do, which is frustrating, is you have them paired to your iPhone... or you haven't paired to your computer and all of a sudden you're trying to take a call from your iPhone and you're like, hello, and they're paired to something else. And it's, it can be annoying.
That's called multi-point pairing. And it's one of the things, you know, you might want to look for in Bluetooth. Mm-hmm. But if you want to save $100, these are very good quality, wireless Bluetooth earbuds, graphene enhanced drivers, 12-hour playtime. Mm-hmm. They're IPX5 water resistant. Stereo calls, AAC microphone, Bluetooth 5.0. So, you know, I paid like for the Jabra Elites, which look exactly the same. I paid a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Well, you paid $21 for these and you paid $150.
I have a pair of those. Not only that pair, but one at home. Megan has one of my pairs. And
this is the pair with my earwax.
Plug it into
it.
Plug it into this.
No, it's Bluetooth.
See.
You don't need to.
Oh,
Bluetooth,
you don't need to. You just pair it right up.
Yeah. Okay, so do you have your thick skin on? Ready for a criticism?
Yeah.
Okay. Frank writes, listening to episode 445, I almost drove off the road.
Oh,
your video from Glenn asked if there's an easier way to find a photo saved from a message that has an older date. You guys suggested search and Google Photos.
That wasn't what he wanted. He wanted to sort them. So he wasn't asking that question. I did see this email.
Oh, you did.
And I knew this answer, but he didn't want to do that. He wanted them sorted by capture date, not by copy date.
I thought he wanted
I'm misremembering.
I think what he wanted was when you get texted a photo that was taken like 6 months ago,
it changes the date,
right? Well, no, it doesn't change the date. Like it goes like, how do you find it?
And that's right. Okay, I'm thinking of a different one. You're right.
Yeah.
So he gets texted the photo. It ends up in his photo library.
Right. So let's say I send you a picture that I took of you last Thanksgiving.
And he just wants to go back. Well, that's easy.
Right. And so I think what we said was go look for it by time, because no matter when a photo is taken, if you send it, if you download it, it shows it's the last one in your photo stream. So it's really confusing because you get like, you can show my screen.
Okay.
So it's
yeah,
like
I was thinking of a different
photos
question.
Okay. And, you know, then so you go
is,
to.
So what is.
He just says they should be right there, like not in this section, but in this.
If you go by date, they'll be in the right
place. But this is always confusing to me because I'm like, I don't want to go by date. Why is this here? I want all photos. It's very confusing. And then I have to go to all photos and then there they are. And lots of photos of my clothes.
So there's an easy way to look at photos. You can still look at them by date. You just have to do the other view.
Yes.
Another view, a view by date, I guess. Okay.
So I want to find out when you told me you just last brushed your teeth this morning.
Earlier today.
Do you know when you last ate a vegetable, or when you last exercised, when you last ran, when you last took a walk, when you last called your mom, all these things?
No.
I like to keep track of these things, so that's what my app does. But first, before we get to the app cap.
It's app cap time coming up, but first a word from our sponsor, Atlassian. I loved it. Did you see the Atlassian guy on stage?
I did.
That made me very, very happy. Atlassian is a really wonderful company for IT teams. IT teams, you know, are the heart of any operation. Certainly our IT team is critical to what we do. And if you're in IT, you know that you really are the center of the world in this new cloud-based world. Atlassian is a collaboration software company that empowers IT teams all over the world. These days, an IT team has to be able to fix problems, respond to incidents quickly, agilely. You need to coordinate between different teams like ops and DevOps. And, of course, you need to communicate to your stakeholders, your boss, your colleagues, your customers. Atlassian makes this simple. You know Atlassian for Jira. That's what they were talking about at the Apple event. Mm-hmm. But Jira is just the tip of the iceberg. Atlassian does so much more. For instance, we use Jira here to keep track. There's Jira right there to keep track of projects, who's doing what stage the project is at. But we also use Atlassian's Confluence because then you can document what happened, what the workflow was, who did what. So I think documentation is very important. If you have operations, you'll be very pleased to know about Ops Genie and Status Page, which help teams better detect incidents, then coordinate response efforts, resolve issues faster. And as always with Atlassian, keep customers and stakeholders up to date. I think that's really important because I don't want our team to have to leave the Atlassian tool to do the job they need to do. And that's one of the best things about Atlassian. They have all these tools to do all sorts of things, and they're all in one kind of bundle, so your workflow is just more natural. There's Bitbucket if you have a code base. It all integrates seamlessly, so you don't have to bounce from platform to platform. I am a big Atlassian fan, and I think a lot of people think Atlassian is for developers. In fact, I was kind of almost wanted to shout out yesterday because they mentioned developers, but it's really teams of all kinds and all sizes, from DevOps to Agile to IT apps to Ops to ITSM. Atlassian's Agile, yes, but it's a lot more than Agile. Like all of Atlassian's products, the tools for your IT team are easy and free to try. Plus, they'll grow as you grow. You can use any of the Atlassian tools as they're right for you now, but trust that as you grow, they will grow with you. Head to Atlassian.com/IT to find out which Atlassian offering is right for you. Atlassian.com/IT.
Here we are. John's concerned because apparently the name is on the back. It's supposed to go on the back?
I don't want the Disney logo on front. I want my name in back. Okay. He's saying my ears are backwards.
Oh,
I think the ears are the same on both sides.
Yeah. When did you get that Disney hat?
Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
Uh-huh.
Last time I was down there.
Oh. I can't wait to go to see the Star Wars Disney
I am
park.
Really excited.
Is it open yet? Or is that just famous people got to go?
No, it's open.
Okay. June 1st. So we're wearing caps because this is the app cap segment of the show, the app cap corner. We wear caps.
Because they're so cute.
Yes, exactly.
I was in Vegas, as you know, last week, and I was at the Flamingo Hotel, and they had a flamingo hat.
And
I came so close to buying it. I should just, whenever I see a great hat, I should just buy it. I can expense it. That's a good point. I could charge it back to Megan.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so these are our favorite apps of the week. Oh, look, there's a cap right there.
Make red hats great again.
Oh, yes.
That's not the flamingo hat I was talking about. There's one that's an actual flamingo.
A real live flamingo? Live?
Used to be live.
Really? No.
No.
It was like a stuffed flamingo?
Your head is the egg it's laying.
Oh. But was it like...
No, it was a...
It wasn't taxidermy?
No.
Oh.
It was a throwboy flamingo.
I mean, if a flamingo lives a happy life, then I'm all for taxiderming it afterwards and have it live on your head.
I have a soft spot for my flamingo, Herbie.
Uh-huh.
And when he passes, I plan to stuff him.
Good. I'll wear that hat. I will wear your stuffed flamingo, Herbie. Okay, so my app is called When Did I...
What?
When? Did I?
When did
dot,
you?
Dot, dot, and
when
it's by Heidi Pillepass from Flat 6 Software is her little company.
Cool.
She's an independent developer. And so this is just a way to track everything and basically just.
So if you're obsessive compulsive.
Yes. If you want to. So, okay. So here's
what. Or you could just put it in your day one journal.
You could. Or you could just use this. You could use both. I want to track all the times I spent with you just to see how.
Does it have a prefabricated list?
Yeah, like spent time with Leo is just in everyone's prefabricated
list. Everybody
gets that?
That's nice. I like that. Yeah, I encourage you to use that.
So I just say, because maybe I want to see where I was when I spent time with you, how long it's been. So maybe track my mood based on how much time I spend with you.
You have to open up your phone and track it.
Or you can just use shortcuts. So let's see
What's
if I
want
to track. Let's see if I want to do track. When I ate vegetables. So
wow,
I can
you eat
go
a lot
to
of vegetables.
Yeah, manage shortcuts. And so I could do a when did I
or
eat vegetables or did eat vegetables.
Well,
or you can change it to.
You
so
could
I'd say
it something like ate vegetables.
Right.
Or
I just ate vegetables.
Yeah. There
so,
you go.
Let's try it. I just ate vegetables.
It's very comedic. Okay. I want to write a movie. In which there's a character who periodically takes out her phone or watch and goes, I just ate vegetables.
I think I'd be happy to write that screenplay.
And if
with
she's
you.
Wearing a tiger hat, yeah. All the better.
I wish we had titles of shows because I just ate vegetables.
I just ate vegetables again.
So, okay, here's a better one. Replace fire alarm batteries. So then you could say, when did I last replace my fire
That's
alarm
a very
batteries?
Good one.
So
yeah, I can
just
never
like
remember.
Set up, when did I replace the
did
fire
Did I do
alarm
it
batteries?
On spring forward or fall back?
Yeah,
I can never remember.
Exactly. Or change the sheets. Maybe you mean
when did I change
when
the
did
sheets?
I last change
you know,
the
my
sheets?
Rule on that is. If they can stand up on their own, it's time to change them.
Right.
Yeah.
But I could do a shortcut with that. And then once you've developed this, you can have like a history of everything that you've done. So I think
you
it's
can
like,
add your own, and it looks yeah. like it has, you can add emojis.
So
and,
what is another thing you think would be helpful to track?
When did I last, you don't want to know. when did I last?
How about tell my husband
when did
I
have
love
my-
him?
Okay, I'd like to tell my husband I love him.
This is my when did I last. You would put Lisa, your wife.
Okay.
Because, you know, you forget. You have the day to day and
But then you have to
more?
Remember to tell okay. your phone.
So then
tell,
I can.
I told is, I told him I loved him.
Right.
Ding, ding, ding.
What's more romantic than that?
Nothing more
Seriously.
Romantic. Hey, hold on, honey. I got to just tell my phone. I said I loved him.
What's an appropriate emoji? Probably the hearts.
Yeah,
I mean that would
yeah.
be appropriate because I was thinking like the mold spore, but that
mold
doesn't
spore.
Seem
yeah,
appropriate. How about the red heart and then add action.
Actually, the mold spore would be useful. Like, when did you last clean out your refrigerator?
Yeah, that's true. That is a good one.
Cleaned out the refrigerator.
Call your mom. Do you need to be reminded to call your mom? You
I
can
don't.
Set
she'll
things.
Do that for me. That's the beauty of moms.
If you want to track going to bed or waking up, that's a good shortcut. So you just press your phone and you just say, I'm going to bed. And then it'll track when you went to bed.
Huh.
So you can add a shortcut right there.
This is for the very compulsive
the person. Life tracker, the person who wants to track everything. Maybe that's the same person that might keep a very elaborate bullet journal, despite her boss, however many times her boss might make fun of her.
Do you still do the bullet journal?
Yep.
Yeah?
I've been doing it for 3 years, and I swear by it. It has made me a lot more productive.
Well, you're a mom. You have kids. You have, you know, schedules. You have mm-hmm. things to do. Mm-hmm. It's my goal, ultimately, in life, not to have anything to do,
mm-hmm.
just so I don't have to keep track of it.
Well, what about like reading books or watching TV or joy things that bring you joy?
I ate soup.
Ate a vegetable. I need to be reminded of these self-care things. Otherwise, I'm taking care of everyone and I'm forgetting about
No,
me.
You need to do that. No, I completely understand. And that's a particularly common condition amongst mothers. Mm-hmm.
So when did I? It is on the App Store now and it's $2.99.
Wow. I just learned that Face ID doesn't work if you're wearing an Oswald the Rabbit hat.
Really?
Apparently not.
I want to see if my face
What's my passcode? Usually it works with weird costumes. Swipe.
Yeah, it didn't work with my hat either.
Yeah, see?
Could be the microphone, too.
So, ladies and gentlemen, my app cap today is something Cory Doctorow told me about. You know Cory.
Mm-hmm.
Cory is a prolific author. He loves audiobooks, as we all do, but mm-hmm. he has a problem with copy protection. In fact, he's kind of notorious for his, unwillingness to use copy protection of any kind. In fact, some of his books he just puts on the internet and says, pay me if you want to. He's that kind of guy.
I love Cory.
A commie. But he told me that he does not allow his books on Audible.com because all Audible books have copy protection. He says he uses Downpour. So I had to say, well, let me try this out. Now, I am still a big Audible user, but I did get a subscription to Downpour because Downpour it has many of the same books. It has a really great app. And the nice thing is you can download the book and then put it on another device and not even use the Downpour app to play it back.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it very flexible. What I try to do with Downpour is buy classics, books that I know that I'm going to want to have forever, like The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, or Ulysses by James Joyce.
Mm-hmm.
So, because my feeling is, I have a great Audible library, but then there's the books I will always want to have. And, of course, the new one, which just came out today, Neal Stephenson's Fall. It doesn't have all the features of Audible, doesn't have the Audible originals, but it does, it'll play back.
That he would, for all practical purposes.
It's the same audio that Audible has because the publishers record these. Not all books don't have copy protection. Some do. And just like Audible, you can't browse, can't buy on the iOS app. You have to go to their website. But they have pretty much all the same books. In fact, they have a few more because they have Cory Doctorow's books, among others. And if you're a Cory Doctorow fan, Gary Sinise, I love him. So this is another alternative. I think I pay $12.95 a month for a credit a month. So that generally is one book, although the new Neal Stephenson, which I was just playing, just came out today, Fall or Dodge in Hell, that's two credits because it's 31 hours, 900 pages.
Have you read Cory's Radicalized?
Yeah, I love Cory's stuff.
Yeah.
All of his stuff is fantastic.
Radicalized is his newest, and it is amazing.
So if you are listening to Cory Doctorow or you'd like to listen, I usually buy his books because I like to have the physical copy of his books, so I have most of these at home. But if you do like to listen, by the way, Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom is fantastic.
It looks like you can buy, because Radicalized there is four short novellas, and it looks like you can buy
read by Will Wheaton.
Yeah, you can buy the novellas separately.
Interesting.
Which is interesting,
or
too.
Buy it for $10.99.
Yeah.
The Radicalized novellas. So, yeah. So, if you're looking for Cory Doctorow or you're looking for an alternative to Audible that doesn't have copy protection or you just want to see what else is out there, I'm really happy with Downpour. I think it is owned by Blackstone Audio.
Yeah, it said it was owned by Blackstone.
One of the big audiobook publishers.
Right, because I hear that a lot. Like, this is
Blackstone
brought to you by
Audio.
Blackstone Audio.
Yeah. So, what it won't have is anything Audible original. And, by the way, Audible is doing a lot more Audible originals. So, I think that's probably one of the reasons is to stave off competition.
Mm-hmm.
But almost every book that's published that has an audio version is on there because these are done by the publisher and then offered in a variety of places.
Also, shout out to your local library. If they use
always use Overcast, try that. Yeah,
you can listen to audiobooks to rent them.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Downpour, just an alternative, something else you can look at. I am very excited. This is the real reason I actually have it is because I have two audiobooks from Audible, and I have a bunch of credits on Downpour. That way I can get more audiobooks, and I had run out of credits on Audible, so I immediately went over to get Fall today when it came out at midnight today. I'm very excited about Neal Stephenson. I love his stuff, and the reviews are very good so far on Fall. Downpour, downpour.com by Blackstone Audio. Ladies and gentlemen, I, as Oswald the Rabbit, Megan as Tigger, the bouncy tiger, must now bid you a fond farewell.
It's been good.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, yes. Thank you guys for coming and watching and being here and our live audience as well.
If you want to be in the live audience, we should tell you. You can email tickets at twit.tv. It's a good idea to email ahead only so that we know you're coming, but also to make sure you don't come on a day that we're closed, because people sometimes do, and I feel bad. They can't get in. They pound on the door. Sometimes they break the glass. It's not nice. So email tickets at twit.tv. We'll make sure we've got a chair out for you. We'll send you directions and
we should stop keeping that baseball bat outside.
I shouldn't.
A little bit harder.
Break glass in case of closure. That was a bad sign to put out front. Yeah. There is also a live stream you can listen to or watch for everything we do. A couple ways to do that. You could just go to twit.tv/live. That's where we put them all together. But you can also ask your Echo or your smart device. You could say something like, Echo, listen to Twit Live, and you can hear what we're up to. If you want to hear just a particular podcast, you could say, Echo, listen to iOS Today, and you'll get the most recent version, the most recent episode of iOS Today. You know, the best thing to do, you can get those two, by the way, at twit.tv/iOS, our website. But the best thing to do is subscribe in a podcast application. Pick one you really like. There are many. And search for iOS Today, subscribe to it, and it will automatically, it's a magical thing, download the minute it's available. That's kind of what makes it a podcast.
Kind of is.
Audio or video. And on this show, I think it's a very visual show.
I think so,
especially because of that funny hats.
Yeah. So,
you don't want to miss that.
No.
If people want to complain or add a suggestion or ask a question, what can they do?
You can just email me. I'm Megan at twit.tv. I am very good at email. Ask anyone.
I'm terrible.
And
are you being facetious?
No.
You're very good at email.
Yes.
Maybe that's because you have a bullet journal.
Probably.
I answered an email.
Exactly. But apparently you've been reading those emails and secretly. I did forward that one, the earphone one, to you. But Megan at twit.tv, record a video, make it less than 30 seconds, and you can send that any way you want. You can just email it straight to me. That's not ideal. It's better to put it on Dropbox or Google Drive or some.
They're big files.
Yeah, but I'll take anything. Just record it. Record it on your, record your face. You could have your Memoji over your face if you want, if you are a little shy.
Yeah, I want to see more of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time on iOS Today.